Lord, we do not always find it easy to recognize your coming to us. Come reveal yourself to us. Meet us in the breaking of the bread. Set our heavy hearts on fire with love for you, and send us on our way rejoicing. For your name's sake, amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, which can be found on page 1786 in your pew Bibles. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even I as am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Our next lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, which can be found on page 1575 in your pew Bibles. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Thanks. You can leave it there, actually. No, please do. Please do. No, I'm serious. You should leave it there. I'm going to reference it. There's always a danger in pulling out old family heirlooms, right? I could have had my own. A couple of young lovers. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This picture for, I don't know if she held it up high enough or not to be able to see what it is, but what is it? Who wants to tell me what it is? It's a wedding picture, that's right. And chances are, the last time you heard this particular passage was at a wedding. That's when we usually hear it, right? Bride, groom, standing, hand in hand, eyes gazing at each other lovingly. So we hear those wonderful words, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, love never fails. Oh, you can almost hear birds tweeting in the background, candlelight, champagne. Fills us with warm fuzzies, doesn't it? If only that couple knew what Paul was actually trying to say in 1 Corinthians 13. Last week, Pastor Tom introduced us to the church at Corinth. And Paul, as he often does when opening up a letter to one of the churches that he's founded, he writes a prayer of thanksgiving for them, that God has blessed them with tremendous gifts, tremendous talents. This is a church that has it going on when it comes to giftedness in the congregation. This is a congregation, we might call them Pentecostal today, because they are exhibiting outward gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit in spiritual gifts. There are some who are speaking in tongues. There are some who are prophesying. I mean, imagine a church service where there may not be a pastor, but people might stand up and they might say, I've received a word from the Lord. And the word is, you know, that we as a church need to open up our wallets and whatever happens to be inside of them, we need to pull it out and drop it in the offering plate. Or someone else might stand up and say in a language that no one else can understand something, to which another person stands up and says, that person was saying that the Holy Spirit is present in this place and God loves us very much. That would be quite a service, wouldn't it? Really would be. Seems like a church where the Holy Spirit is really present. You know, people singing well, people helping one another, healings happening, people showing hospitality to one another. All of these possible spiritual gifts. And we'll talk about the whole list of spiritual gifts in a couple of weeks when we talk about the Holy Spirit in particular. But Paul goes on to say that even though there are all of these gifts, there's something wrong. Something wrong in this particular church. Because, well, they've had a number of different preachers come along. And, well, different people like different preachers. You know, some people like Pastor Tom's preaching. Some like Pastor Keith's preaching. Some like my preaching. Some like Joel Osteen's preaching on TV, or Bobby Shuler, or Jim Knoll, or Debbie Pierce, or whoever it is who happens to come through. And these folks, they've decided that they have their favorite preachers, and those are the folks that they choose to follow. Some like Paul, some like Apollos, some like Peter, others, they follow Christ. We heard Pastor Tom preach about this last week. This is a church that is divided. They're divided over who their favorite preacher is. Some like the more academic, some like the more heartfelt, some like the ones that are, traditional and talk about old doctrinal things, and others like it, you know, when there's rock music. Some like it when there's an organ playing over the top of the sermon and things get really exciting. I'm not suggesting that, Janice, today. But this is a church that has divisions. And not only are there divisions about who it is that they're going to follow, but they're also divided in their spiritual gifts. They have these wonderful gifts, but the problem is that they're using them against one another, almost. They're saying, well, the person who speaks in tongues, their gift is more valuable than the one who has the gift of hospitality. Or the one who is a fantastic singer, their gifts are going to be elevated over those who have the gift of making sure that the heat is turned up on a Sunday morning. This is a church that's divided. They're fighting. And it's in this context that Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing more than a gong, a clanging cymbal. Gongs and clanging cymbals are used in pagan worship in those days. So Paul is saying, if a person stands up, exhibits their spiritual gift, but it doesn't have love along with it, then they might as well be down at the temple to Zeus instead. Because it's not from God. Or, if I prophesy and I tell all the mysteries of heaven, but I have not love, then those words are empty, meaningless. They mean nothing. If I have the most talents and gifts of anyone in the entire universe, but I don't love other people, then it doesn't mean anything. There's no soft piano music over these words, folks. It's like Paul is standing in front of the church saying, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. These are exhortations. This is scolding, if nothing else. The young couple standing up, hearing these words, they have no idea that 10 or 20 years down the road, they're going to need to revisit those words in that tone of voice. Because, folks, we're human. We're human. We're sinners, in case you haven't heard. And when people sin, it causes division. Division from God, division from one another, division from the people that God has called them to be. And the antidote to that sin, the antidote to that division, is love. Love. It's the greatest commandment. As we heard read from Gospel of Mark, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment greater than that one. Love. Paul continues. Remember, this is a church that thinks they've got it all together. They're pretty convinced of their own status in God's eyes. They think they've made it. They've got all these spiritual gifts. They're mature. Paul continues, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Paul is saying to those who operate without that love, who think they've got it all figured out, he has two words for them. grow up. Because people who are truly wise know just how little they know and how much they've come to depend on love that comes from God in order for them to make it through each day. They see that in this world, it's hard for us to see around corners. Regardless of how wise we are, regardless of how much knowledge we have, regardless of how great our spiritual gifts are, there's a humility that comes with spiritual gifts. There's a humility that comes with love. There's a humility that recognizes that without the other person, the gifts are useless. One of the things we'll talk about in 2 weeks is how there are many parts to the body of Christ and that they all work together in order for Christ's body to function, that there are not any that are more important than others. Now, while those gifts are spread out and no one possesses all of them, there are three that Paul considers the most important and that are universal: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those? Love. Faith, hope, and love are universal. They're gifts that each of us receives from the Holy Spirit, and that each of us is called to exercise for the church to truly realize its own love story. So next time you hear this read at a wedding, smile to yourself. And remember that these are words written not to a couple who is so in love that they couldn't possibly imagine fighting with one another, but these are words written to a church that couldn't possibly imagine loving one another. And yet Paul says, grow up, love one another. As Cheryl read for us, love one another, for love comes from God. It's a gift that God gives to the church. There will be divisions. There will be disagreements. We're humans. We're sinful. In Acts 2, when the church gathers as just a handful of people, everyone is of one mind and they're all of one accord. But by the time we get to Acts 10, 11, 12, that fairy tale has been swept away and we see the church as it truly is. A group of humans guided by the Holy Spirit in need of mercy from God in order to bear with one another. In fact, that word one another occurs over and over and over again in the book of Acts and in Paul's letters to the church. It's called one anothering. There's a new verb for you today. Spell check will catch that one in Microsoft Word. One anothering. It means that there is no such thing as a single solitary Christian, that we all live out our faith in community, and that community is messy, but love never fails. So some things for us to think about this week as we go about our lives. How is God calling me to love another person this week? How is God calling me to exercise the spiritual gifts that I have been given from the standpoint of love for another person? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord God, help us to understand the mysteries of this faith, the mysteries of this hope, the mysteries of love. Send us your Holy Spirit to guide us in the ways of love, that we, as a church and as individual members of it, may seek to be your witnesses in our world, expressing that spirit of love to everyone that we meet. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.